In 1953, a young man named Henry Mollison underwent brain surgery that would forever change our understanding of memory. After the operation, Henry could no longer form new memories. He would meet someone, have a lengthy conversation, step out of the room, and upon returning, greet them as a complete stranger. For the next 55 years, Henry lived perpetually in the present moment, becoming the most studied individual in neuroscience history as patient HM. What makes this story even more remarkable is that the surgeon who performed this life-altering operation was the grandfather of author Luke Dittrich. Through meticulous research and personal connection, Dittrich uncovers not just the scientific significance of Henry's case, but also the profound ethical questions it raises. What happens when someone can form no new memories? What responsibilities do we have toward those whose suffering advances our knowledge? And perhaps most haunting, who are we without our memories? Henry's journey toward becoming patient HM began with a childhood accident in Hartford's Colt Park, where he collided with a bicyclist while not wearing his glasses. The impact twisted his brain inside his skull, tearing neurons and triggering electrical surges that knocked him unconscious. Though initially appearing fine, the injury caused lasting damage. Henry developed seizures that progressively worsened, severely restricting his life by preventing him from driving, attending college, or living independently. As a young adult at the Underwood Typewriter Factory, his seizures disrupted production. Despite massive medication doses, by age 27, he suffered multiple daily seizures, both grand mal episodes, where he'd collapse, and petit mal absences, where his mind would temporarily pause. In March 1953, desperate for relief, the Mollisons consulted neurosurgeon Dr. William Scoville, who identified Henry's medial temporal lobes as the likely source of his epilepsy. Despite the risks, the family agreed to a procedure that would irrevocably change Henry's life. On August 25, 1953, Henry underwent the operation that would make him neuroscience's most famous case study. Dr. Scoville anesthetized Henry, cut across his head, drilled skull holes, and accessed deeper structures with a brain spatula. Despite applying electrodes, no epileptic focus was found in his medial temporal lobes. Scoville chose the riskiest option, suctioning out both hemispheres of Henry's medial temporal lobes, removing his amygdala, uncus, entorhinal cortex, and hippocampus. This decision offered the greatest research value as Henry represented a normal subject who could illuminate these brain structures' functions. 6 weeks later, Scoville's medical paper noted that his limbic lobe operations had resulted in no marked physiologic or behavioral changes, with the one exception of a very grave recent memory loss. This italicized clause transformed a modest paper into a cornerstone of memory science. It announced patient HM's birth while erasing Henry Mollison's former self. The operation reduced his seizures, but at an unimaginable cost. He would never again form a new memory. When psychologist Brenda Milner tested Henry post-surgery, she found a remarkable contrast. His memory quotient was only 67, the lowest she'd ever seen, yet his IQ scored 118 in the superior intelligence range. He maintained conversations and solved complex problems, even learning certain skills without remembering having learned them. His amnesia became evident when Milner briefly left for coffee and returned. Henry greeted her with a friendly smile, having completely forgotten her despite their hours together. Throughout his life, he would greet researchers as strangers minutes after speaking with them. Henry's condition was twofold. He couldn't form new episodic memories, and his preoperative episodic memories had vanished. His past had semanticized, reduced to disconnected facts without narrative context. He could state his birth date, but couldn't describe any birthday party. When asked about favorite memories of his mother, he could only state, "That she's my mother." Without autobiographical storytelling capacity, Henry had only disconnected facts about himself and the world. He showed no emotional reaction when told his father had died, information he'd forgotten. He carried a note, "Father's dead, Mother's in a hospital, but she's well. This emotional numbness, alongside his complete lack of sexual desire, was a direct consequence of the surgery that transformed him into the famous patient HM. Henry's case revolutionized memory research by resolving debates about memory's location in the brain. Brenda Milner discovered that despite his amnesia, Henry could learn new skills like mirror tracing, revealing that the brain has multiple independent memory systems. Her work established that the medial temporal lobes and hippocampus are crucial for forming declarative memories, conscious facts and events, while procedural memory for skills and habits uses different brain systems and remained intact in Henry. In 1957, Scoville and Milner's paper, Loss of Recent Memory After Bilateral Hippocampal Lesions, became the most cited work in memory science, transforming our understanding of memory formation and storage. Henry's case advanced neuroscience while raising profound ethical questions. His amnesia made genuine consent impossible. He couldn't remember agreeing to studies, and his missing amygdala likely predisposed him to comply with researchers' requests. Initially, Henry's parents provided consent, with Henry co-signing. After his father died and his mother developed dementia, his landlady began signing forms. From 1980 to 1992, Henry alone signed, despite his inability to remember doing so, until MIT eventually sought a formal conservator. Henry received no compensation for decades. Researcher Suzanne Corkin obtained a waiver, claiming he received benefits like medical care and gifts instead. Most troublingly, Corkin revealed she had shredded much of Henry's experimental data during a move and planned to destroy the rest, justifying this by claiming nobody's going to look at them and that only published material mattered. The scientific literature portrayed Henry as docile and content, but reality was more complex. In Hartford, he sometimes became physically aggressive toward his mother and once threatened suicide at work. Yet MIT researchers described him as sweet, tractable, docile, and uncomplaining, attributing this docility to his brain lesions rather than personality. Henry Molaison died on December 2, 2008, at age 82, his identity as patient H finally revealed. His brain was preserved for scientific study as he wished. Neuroanatomist Jacopo Annese sliced Henry's brain into 2,401 sections during a live-stream dissection. Surprisingly, his remaining hippocampal stump appeared in pretty good shape, challenging established memory science theories. For author Luke Dittrich, this story is personal. His grandfather, Dr. William Scoville, performed Henry's surgery. In a private note, Scoville revealed his motivation. His wife's mental illness had inspired his research in the hopes of contributing to a cure. Henry's case raises profound questions about human identity. Living in an eternal present, he described having to figure them all around and then go through it again, while others could pick out what they have thunk from memory. He noted, "By not remembering things, you can't improve them." Despite his limitations, Henry's contribution to science gave his life meaning, a crucial window into the machinery of memory that continues to shape our understanding of what makes us human.